I did pedal power on the boat in Lake the other day. Thank you. Right, yeah. Well, while Dawn was worshipping, I was struck by the...
in that battle, fighting his power on our behalf, and he's victorious. We sung of our adoration for him as King of Kings, again focused on his strength, his power, his might, and the glorious is his. We spoke out those words, we sang those words, that there's real power in his name, real power in his name. We reflected on the fact that he loves us. There's no separation from him. He surrounds us and he's constantly with us. He sacrificed his life. He loves us so much. He loves all in the world so much that he sacrificed his love for us. So love, power, might, all the things that we spoke of last week and again this week. I just want to bear those things in mind. So, who wasn't here last week? Were you all? So, quick recap. Photos aren't that important for the recap. But other than, you know, God is always reminding me of where I need to improve. I fell into the trap. I asked him to speak to me, and I fell into that trap of manipulating what I was seeing and thinking it was of God. So, those folks, I thought God was perhaps speaking to me about being fishers of men and not being deflected from our paths and rising above the old obstacles in front of us. But that was just me trying to get God to fit in with my thinking. It was God who finally spoke. Came across the barnacles. Stand firm is what I heard. And it took me these are the two verses. They've got the Amplified version here and NIV here. So this is what we began to look at last week, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 to 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. And we had a look at what be on your guard meant. Constantly be watchful and alert. If we nod off, so to speak, if we become distracted, that's when the enemy can take advantage. And one of the scriptures we looked at, the enemy is constantly on the prowl, looking for opportunities. Not awake and focused on the Lord, here and you will find a way in. Stand firm in the path. We also looked at you can see all the different things that really important, really, really important, that not only do we spend time listening and reading, we allow the Word of God to sink into our hearts so that we can stand firm on it. These are what I believe. These are the truth that I believe. And my walk with Christ demonstrates all that I believe. That's what I've chosen for myself and for you. And this, I was way back before Christmas, I was asked if I would write an article for the Courses of Going on Mercury. It's a bit confusing. People think it's the newspaper, but it's a Christian electronic newsletter magazine that put out for it's part of the rule book that covers all denominations, whether you're a church or a Christian group. And they asked me if I'd write, and I got an email a few days ago reminding me that I said yes, and submission date is later this month. So I quickly wrote it, and it is not on. Just thought it would keep me about. Read it, viewpoint. So that was last week. And this is where we are. Has anybody come with the bits of green tongue? Oh, you were, oh, bless you. You all come to the door. I thought, I better print them off again. Before we get to those verses, what do you take from
to me? It's especially in the context of that verse, be courageous, be alert, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. What does be strong mean to you? Maybe nothing.
Trust
wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever the enemy may be thrusting your way. keep going. As long as we're trusting in Him, be strong. His strength. Yes, very, very easy for me sometimes to become overconfident, over reliant in my own wisdom, knowledge, skills, stamina. We have to be strong. We have to be strong in our faith, grace, in the Word of God, in God Himself, in spirit, in heart, mind, and spirit. We've got to be consistently strong. Very easy to shrivel up. Don't despair. We're not called to deviate from what the Word is saying, what God is saying to us, what the Spirit is trying to impress on our hearts and minds. So when God, for example, when God plainly said to His church in Martha, Not just to one or two of us, but to His church in Martha, I want you to reach out to the young people. I want you to serve the young people. It would be easy. You know, when we met with the other ministers, they were sharing that they want to go ahead with this. They're keen to go ahead with it, but it feels to be the same few people that are getting behind what God wants to do. If God is saying, I want to move in this way at this moment, at this time, then the whole body needs to get behind that. Now, it won't be for the whole body to be physically joining with the young people, but the whole body needs to be praying about it, needs to be supporting those that are involved. And if for example you feel I could spare an hour occasionally, not every time the group meets, but occasionally, then get involved. Because if we say, well, I haven't got the strength to do that, I haven't got the time to do that, I'm no good with kids, with again falling back on what I am good at and not saying to God, use me, I'm yielded to You, use me in any way that you choose. Otherwise we're gonna just sit in our comfort zones and not step out of them. Now you've got four cards and we're gonna look at those in a moment. I have to say, they broadly say the same things that one of you, and forgive me, I forget which one of you it was, said. They broadly say the same thing, which is, we can't do this, be strong, in our own strength, and be effective. It's all about doing it in God's strength, using His power, His might, His wisdom, His understanding, walking in His plans. And those four verses say more or less the same thing as I've just said, but they're slightly nuanced. So who's got the 2 Timothy 2:1? Ah, Graham, read it out to us. Read it out to us, please. Be strong in the grace that is Jesus Christ. Be strong in all that Jesus gives us, gracefully gives us, bestows on us. Not what he has given us, that we can be strong in what he has given us, but what he is giving us. Today, this moment, and every moment going forward, be strong in all that Christ gives us. Rely on him, on his compassion. If you're feeling that there is a multitude in the streets where you live who don't know him, who don't know of him, who don't know of his healing power, who don't know of the eternal life that can be gained by trusting in him. If that's tugging at your heart, then walk in that compassion and share of that compassion, of Christ. Who's got 1 Peter 5:10? You've got, go for it, Graham.
And the God of all grace, according to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
There's a few bits in that. There's a few bits in that. So we can go down the gym and pump iron and run like a hamster on the treadmill, building up our physical strength. But if we want that whole strength, we have to look to Christ, who will graciously give us. He'll restore us, make us strong, firm, and steadfast. Whatever the enemy may thrust at us, it says we may suffer there a little while. We often do suffer. And some people have a lifetime of suffering. You know, they can have a long-lasting, chronic, debilitating illness. Or they may be caught in a unhealthy relationship. Go on and on. But to God's way of thinking, to Christ's way of thinking, that's only a little while. You know, if we're lucky, we may live on the earth until we're 100. But in the grand scheme of things, Sandra's shaking her head, oh no, not 100. In the grand scheme of things, 100 years is but a little while. It's a blink of God's eye. You know, so that suffering is not long lasting, certainly using God's time frame. But he will graciously, if we rely on him, If we will be strong in him, he will restore us and help us to be steadfast. Right, who's got 2 Corinthians 12? That little bit in verse 10. Go for it, Helen. Nice, strong voice.
When I am surrounded with troubles on every side, faced persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power.
Yeah. So we can be in those difficult situations. Life is being harsh. Neighbours, friends, family can be saying harsh, unpleasant things about us, to us. You know, I used to be that person. You know, when I first met Jackie, when we were living and working in Winterton, she was a colleague, a friend, but I knew her as a Christian, and I wasn't a Christian, and I would try and downplay her faith. I would be cruel about her faith, about her relying on this mysterious God who I didn't believe in. I would persecute her, but she didn't waver. She didn't waver in her love for Christ. She stood firm in what she believed. She stood firm in her faith. And whilst I did not have a radical change of heart and mind in that moment, over time that made an impression on me. We still weren't, you know, we weren't living together at that stage. And I used to go off and sit in Winterton Church. I don't know why I sat in Winterton Church. And I wouldn't have called it then praying to God, but I used to talk about life in general. Her standing firm in the face of persecution not only strengthened her, but spoke into my life and had an impact on me. Although I'm surrounded with troubles on every side, face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am yet made stronger. Because God uses our weakness. He doesn't look to us to use our own strength, our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own skills. He wants us to rely on the blessings he gives us, the strength he gives us, the wisdom he gives us, the skills he gives us. Because out of them, the enemy can do no good. Who's got the final verse then in Haggai? Right.
Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty.
I don't know if you caught that phrase in the middle. Two words, and work. And work. Even though I'm retired, and work. Even though many of you are retired, and work. And even though some of you work, you've got to work for the Lord also. Everything we do, we need to be working for the Lord. Right at the beginning is that command. Be strong. No, it's the same as he said when we looked at those verses in Deuteronomy and Joshua. Be strong. Be courageous. Be bold. Be strong. It's not be strong if you like. We're being directed. You know, as you go about my business, be strong. As you work in the land you've been allotted, in this mission field, be strong. And what's the promise that goes along with that? As we're strong and doing his work, I will always be with you. There's an assurance that if we're sticking with what he's asked us to do, we're approaching it with the right mindset. We're being strong, being courageous. We're standing firm in the faith. We're being alert to what's happening around us, to what the enemy might be seeking to do. We need not fear anything, for I am with you, says the Lord, declares the Lord. We come then to that final bit. I just realised that there's a typo there. That should say 14. Do everything in love. Do everything. Everything that we do must be in love. Now, one of my many birthday presents combined two things that I love. This was from Jackie. A book of poetry all about walking. I love walking in the countryside. And I love poetry. And it's a nicely presented book. Coming with it, it's a matching bookmark. And the words are really simple that Jackie's inscribed on the bookmark. To Andrew, wishing you a very happy birthday. With all my love, always. Jackie, all my love, always. I took that book on holiday the other week up to Sandringham, along with a clutch of other books. And as I reread that bookmark, I could feel the emotion welling inside of me. All my love, always. Because I know that that love is not just the love that two people share for one another, but it's boosted, it's directed, it's nourished, it's empowered by the love of Christ and the love that God has for us. And Jackie was pouring that out into me. It wasn't just her love. She was channeling God's love and Christ's love. And we have to do likewise. Do everything in love. Every thought we have, every word we utter, every action we take, and those still moments. It's so very easy sometimes, if we've been hurt, to offer people the silent treatment. We don't say an unkind word, but we give them the silent treatment. It's equally easy sometimes to offer angry, hurtful things. But everything we do should be motivated by love. Because in Scripture, because if we're standing firm in the faith, standing firm in what God's written and who God is, if we take what it says in Scripture as truth, it says in several places, God is love. Not God was, not God maybe, can be. God is love. He can't be anything else. Everything he does, every word he's uttered, is driven by love. And we're called to imitate him. Every thought, every word, every action, every moment of quietness and stillness must be driven by the love God has for us, for mankind, should be shaping us. Do I live up to that? I wish I could say yes. I wish I could say yes. I aspire to it. I work at it. I fall short. But God loves me. But God loves me. What is this love? What is this love? This is just some of it. We could go on and on and on. Patience, kindness, gentleness, truthfulness. It shouldn't stop, start, stop, start. It should be constant, should be constant. I should be able to freely forgive and not store things up, festering away in me, to use them in the future, those hurts. My love for Jackie must, and for my children, and for everyone else, should seek to be honoring, protective, full of compassion. The flip side is there for you to see, there for you to read. I know I can do some of this. I find it hard to be consistently loving, sharing God's love. There have been times over the recent months where I have felt not loving towards certain brothers and sisters in Christ because of what they've said, what they've done, what they haven't done. I'm constantly being checked and challenged by the Spirit to be patient with them, to love them. I certainly don't love the things I believe they're saying and doing, but I have to love them. And that is hard. There's so much more we could say. So much more we could say about God's love. I just challenge you to read certainly 1 Corinthians 13 and that passage in John 4 and just meditate on it. Let God speak to you. That 1 Corinthians 13, you've probably been to wedding services, certainly church-based services, that have used John 1 Corinthians 13. It can get used routinely. Don't let the routine, don't let the over familiarity of those verses pass you by. Spend time with God. Ask Him to reveal His truth to you about His love. And that's where we would have ended. But of course we've had a week since I originally planned to do this talk. And God has continued to speak to me during the past week. So I want to share some of that with you. This was the first thing He said to me. I don't want to spend too much time because I'm now sensing that God wants me to talk on this and the related verses in Ephesians 5 in a talk next time. Be imitators of God in everything you do. Remember what we said. God is love. Be imitators of God in everything. And we had that sort of mini checklist. Every thought, every word, every deed, every quiet still time. Be like God, and then we'll represent the Father as His beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. When you think, can I do as Christ has done? Can I behave, conduct my life as Christ has done, totally yielded out of love to the Father, not stepping outside the Father's will, doing everything in love, to the point where He gave up His life in love. Now, I can't imitate Christ completely. It's not my place to offer salvation. I can't grant people eternal access to the Father and life, eternal life with the Father. But I can point him the way. But I can do compassion. I can do service. I can do listening to the Father, hearing and doing what the Father directs me. Be imitators. But perhaps more of that next week and beyond. And finally, this is where I want to end. Well, it's certainly my end looking at Scripture. So this is in Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, because there's only one bit in the middle that I'm really interested in, but in order to get the real meaning behind it, you have to see it as a whole. So let's read it. Jesus walked throughout the region with the joyful message of God's kingdom realm. He taught in their meeting houses, and wherever he went, he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the vast crowds of people, Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion, because they seemed weary and helpless, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is huge and ripe, and there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in." Is your heart like Jesus? Are you able to say, am I able to say, that I am like Jesus, like God? That as I look around the houses and streets and workplaces where I live, do I see vast numbers of people who are bent double by the burdens of this world, the burdens of their life, not sure where they're going, pointing in different directions all the time? And is your heart aching with compassion, with love for those people, like Jesus's? Are you seeing a huge harvest? And are you willing to join in with God's work to bring in that harvest? So that's what God was saying to me this week. So I leave you with some questions to consider. How are we doing, folks? How are we doing? Now, God has used Paul, used the words of Paul. He's breathed life into those words. And it's been saying to us, be alert, be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, be bold, courageous, be strong. How am I? How are we individually doing in observing those things? And in light of all the difficulties and challenges that you're facing today, what does it mean to face those challenges squarely and respond to them in a way that expresses Christ's love, God's love? And then where we finish that last scripture, what situations are filling your heart with compassion? And what do you feel God is calling to you to do in response? Is it to sit on your hands? Or can we do something? And if God's pressing something into your heart and you're not quite sure how to respond, then come say something to someone. And we'll join with you in prayer. And see what God is saying. See what God is saying. That's it, folks. We are there. That was a...